So what's good with you, man? Like, I see that you must have getting off work. I seen you're saying like you were getting. I was like, feel that, because I had just got home like probably like an hour before you were saying.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I just barely got home. I had just enough time to, you know, kind of settle in, throw something down the hatch, and just hop on here, you know. But I'm chilling, you know, kicking back.
So how long you been doing all this, like looking into stuff and like kind of dabbling in this world? Because you're an author as well, right?
Yes. Yeah. Dude, it's been pretty much my whole life. But more specifically, it started around like 12 to 14 years old. Started like really like reading and watching documentaries and having certain life experiences that led me down this journey of eventually becoming like an author and documenteur. But as I noticed, you make music, you make hip hop. I was also a hip hop artist for most of my life too. So that was actually one of the first art forms that I used to express the knowledge that I was learning back in high school and stuff. But yeah, man, it's just been an evolving process throughout my whole life.
And that was a crazy thing, right? Like during this whole like scandemic, whatever we want to call it, that the underground, because I'm like, you know, I'm assuming that you're a little bit more into the underground realm of the hip hop spectrum as like me. You know, I like all of different kinds of music, but like I would say if I had to put myself somewhere, probably be closer to the underground. You know, that's where, you know, battling, graph, DJing, breakdancing. I used to breakdance and stuff like that. So I was like all in that world. And when I seen this scandemic and so many hip hop heads were like going along with it, it was just weird to me, because I was like, I thought we were like against the authority. Like, you guys told me about this stuff, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was getting mad then, dude. Like,
yeah, I know, you saw like the real motive, you know, because these guys make money and a living off of touring and shows, so of course they were gonna play ball, man. Yeah. But I knew that I come from a hip-hop background, actually. It's what a lot of people don't know that about me, you know, in my recent, you know, touring of podcasts and stuff. I mentioned it here and there, but actually I'm a very hip hop oriented person. I got a lot of stories with that, but I learned that early on, like in local hip hop. That's what kind of drove me away from it, was learning that like people weren't really about what they say they're about. But yeah, so it wasn't a surprise to me, man, to see for one the government do what it was doing, because I mean, that was a given.
Yeah.
But then to see people turning their backs on each other, that was just a whole nother level of all of this.
Yeah. And it kind of gets us into like where you see what life is now. Like, you know how when we talk about conspiracies and, you know, like that's what I would tell people, like, you know, everybody calls it like truther and red pilling now. And I always kind of like, it's not that I'm against it. It's just that like you were saying, we just would pass around documentaries, like different books, like, man, you're about this. Oh, man, you heard this crazy shit. Like, and then you'd hear, or you'd hear, like you said, in a song, like I'd hear like someone use a punchline, you know, like a Vinny Paz, or when Wu said like different, like underground artists. Dead Prez was huge on like kind of like feeding like a lot of information of what was going on. And when you're listening to that, then you look it up, right? You're like, well, what is MK Ultra? Hey, oh, wow, this is a real thing. And then from there, you go further and further and see like, okay, there's levels of like, okay, let's decipher propaganda. Like, what did the CIA do? And then there's next levels of the secret societies and the connections of bloodlines and who's actually pulling the strings to all these puppets.
Yeah, that's kind of how it happened for me too. Like, I always say that one of the defining moments for me in my journey with knowledge was listening to Jedi Mind Trick's song, The Winds of War, where he mentions, you know, where are you going to stand when the Elohim return? And I didn't know what that was. I was like, damn, like, who are the Elohim? Where am I gonna stand when they return? So like that, I started researching that, and it led to just a whole plethora, man, of knowledge and studies. And here I am, you know, more than 10 years later, like, still trying to figure it all out.
Yeah, that's why I was saying, it was kind of weird, like, in the beginning, even with like the Trump thing, like me, I'm never like, I just say like, I thought we all agreed that like presidents are selected, not elected. And then where everybody's still taking sides, I'm like, why are we even bothering taking sides anymore, man? Like, it's well known and well documented that like this is a connection, that it's a big club and you ain't in it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I say, man. So there's not the left administration or the right administration. There's just the administration, and fuck the administration.
Yeah, exactly. The state in general. That's why I just go like by, you know, fuck the state in general, man. That's my automatic enemy. Yeah. And that's why we got to learn more and figure out like what they're, you know, like these plans, because like I think people think like it's far-fetched, you know, like about secret societies and what's out there. Like they think it's really not. It's something that you can totally see. Look at fraternities, you know what I mean? Look at like the brotherhood of different people have, and then people can keep secrets. Like and that's the whole point of it. They want that thrill of being involved in something, even the low level people where they're just like thrilled to be involved in this, you know what I mean? Like, oh man, I'm just so happy. Yeah. I'm at the party, man. Like I'm at the orgy. You know what I mean? Like, I made it in.
Yeah, dude, that's kind of how I view it. It's just like, it's just people being people, you know? Like when I was younger and I got into all this study, I was fascinated and you know, concerned that there were like these deep state societies like controlling the world. But as I've aged and I've become an adult myself and I see how the world really works, I'm not tripping on these people because they're just as stupid as any other person, you know. It's just that a lot of them were born into positions of power or were just smart. Some of them were smart people who moved their way up into positions of power, but they're just people, and we all have the same ability, the same right, you know, capability to achieve these positions of power and do good things with them.
Oh, most definitely. Like, I think that's like the point of this whole world is like, I think that's why like music was beautiful. Like, I don't know if you ever seen like, there's a YouTube channel called the Tupac Hoax. I don't know if you ever like ran down that rabbit hole.
I've gone down it a little bit. Well, it might be a different one. I went down the one where he was an actor all along. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, it's kind of like, yeah, they're like insinuating that like his whole artistry was the Gemini. So it was two sides. So that like would show him, say like he would be all like, you know, hey, I'm for the children, dear mama, like da da da, like where Brenda has a baby. But then at the same breath, like he'd be like, oh, kill him, fuck that motherfucker, I'm gonna rob this, blah 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 blah. So they were saying how he would switch and got control of people, that even that his whole Machiavelli album dropped on Easter, you know what I mean? As he was, that was his resurrection moment. Like he was the you know, he predicted his death. It was just so much. They have a whole channel, man. It goes in detail on different parts of music, but it's pretty interesting, man. Like just to see like where all this can be. Like it's true. Like there's artists I love, man, and maybe when I was 14 or 15 I might think differently, but now being an adult, like you said, like being aware of what's on there, like I can still like there and listen to their music or watch these movies. I know a lot of people say like, oh, I can't do that. I say I can, because I see it differently, man. I use it as a force of either not just decoding, but sometimes just unplugging or just like to create, because I'm an artist. So like I need some kind of inspiration. I need something that's going to give me an idea, like spark something where it's going to move me and make me want to either write a song, make a beat, you know what I mean? Like get on a podcast, maybe try to like whatever, you know what I mean? But it's going to get my mind going and moving. And I think people don't use it like that. A lot of other people just use it as unplugged entertainment or just like, I have to watch this, and they get too addicted to it. Cause I think that's a lot of the problem that these societies have figured out. And that's why we have all these think tanks, that the way a human works is that, like, you know, they just kind of roam round and round, and then they start getting addicted to things like, oh, I need this thing, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a phone, a TV show, et cetera, et cetera. You can replace it. And once we're so consumed with this consumerism of what life is, we're so susceptible to their plans. Because like you said, they're not smart people. There is some smart people in that have created, but really we could defeat any of these people one-on-one in a match of wits easily. Yeah. But because we're so consumed with this bullshit that we can't.
Yeah. It's just, we don't understand the way the world works. You know, most people don't. They just assume the position, you know, because they're taught as kids that their government is like the authority and they're smarter than, more powerful than them. But if you, you know, just study this stuff in depth, you'll find that like the government, they're just people, you know. And in the conspiracy community or in the truther community, we always talk about the them or the they, right? And I've spent a lot of my time in my life trying to decode who the they is, because if we just say they and them and Illuminati, as we're, you know, the Illuminati, for example, is a generic term. And I just dropped a documentary on the Illuminati on my Esoteric Eddie TV on YouTube. And even just that, for example, like the Illuminati is such a generic scapegoated term. But the history of the actual Illuminati is so much more different than we've been led to believe. And the same goes for our world and our government is we think it's a they and it's a them, but it's really a very specific set of theys and thems. Like Like, for example, recently I've been studying the Dulles brothers. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, but it was, I think, Andrew Dulles and Foster Dulles. But these two dudes, like, they were, one of them was the head of CIA and the other one was like the head of Secretary of State, like during like the 50s. And it's these two dudes who were like so like handily responsible for tarnishing America's reputation with third world countries and now third world superpowers, and like doing all that damnation throughout the 50s and onwards of like taking down democratic countries and installing puppet masters. So it's like we need to get specific about who the they are and who the them are and realize that, you know, it's just people, man. It's just people fucking up or people getting into positions of power. But we too can elevate ourselves.
Yeah, and showing like some kind of paper trail, you know, like I think it's I'd say this a lot, and it's not any diss towards any certain conspiracy, but I think that when we can kind of get a little bit of a paper trail for people to show other people, I'm saying, like, we can have theories and speculate all we want on anything, but to have a little bit of evidence so we can move it forward. So this court, I keep saying the most important thing is the court of public opinion. You know what I mean? It's not the court of law. It's the court of public opinion. What do the people think? If we can make the masses understand that there is a better way, there is options, there is people trying to manipulate you in what you're doing and see that, hey, you don't like that because you like that. You like that because they're programming you to like that. And why are they programming? And until we can uninstall some of these programs from people, we have to show them evidence. Because if we just say whatever, that might say off the wall. I always tell people, I don't know. I'm 50-50 on everything. Like, a lot of flat earthers get mad at me because I just go, hey, man, I don't know, bro. Like, I'll give you 50%. Yeah. I'm never going to know, bro. Like, I'm not going up. Yeah. I'm not going to the edge and I'm not going up. You know what I mean? I listen. Yeah. I love talking about it. I only don't like when people kind of just go, nah, you like it has to be this way. And anything, I don't like that. You know, it's like, hey, man, I don't know, man. I'm just speculating and we're discussing, trying to figure stuff out. So I think it's easy. Like when you're talking about CIA, I talk a lot about that too. You know, operations that we could point to or moments in history that we could point to that, like, it's not definitive, like anything could be rewritten, but I'm saying at least it's something. Like we have to give them something, because if we don't, it's just speculation and we're just crazy people.
Yeah, yeah. And on that point, it was Alan Dulles and his brother, John Foster Dulles. Last name, D-U-L-L-E-S, however that's pronounced. But the Dulles brothers during the Eisenhower presidency. But yeah, man, you're right. Like, we have to actually, like, be scholarly and academic and leave a paper trail and do our homework and our research, because we can only fight what we know, you know? So if we're just running around using they, them, the reptilians are after us or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, we're letting all these people, like the Dulles brothers, you know, get away with what they're doing and be forgotten in history. Let their evils be forgotten in history. But yeah, man.
And then we're forced to fall for false idols. You know what I mean? Because then people are so wrapped up because they're like, they, them, that's the bad guy. Oh, this has to be the opposite of it. This is the good guy. Putin's the good guy. Trump's the good guy. And you're like, dude, it's the... How much? And then it gets frustrating because you're talking to people about controlled oppositions and the connections of people. And then you're like, dude, we just talked about this. Like, but it's because they have this need for wanting hope. And what I'm trying to drive home with everybody when we have any of these conversations is just like, we are the hope, man. Us living, us having a conversation, like just being able to like have free thought, critical thinking, and being our own person is the hope that we need. And I think if we could pass that love and compassion on to as many people as possible, as much as possible, then it will be much a better place. Is it easy? Hell no, man. Sometimes I want to punch people in the face, like, you know what I mean? But I think that that we could connect on these levels through history. Like, you know, that's why we were wanted to talk a little bit about like the Illuminati and like the history of like what people wanted to bring to the table, you know, like that. I think that is, do you think that the Illuminati is intricate in what's happening, or do you think that is just a face like that we use, like you said, the them?
Well, we can get into it. I mean, I just dropped a documentary chronicling the actual Illuminati and its history and its downfall, and so we can get into that in a second. But to answer your question, I think that today we're witnessing a complex array of different organizations, which some are even battling with each other, but all of them, most of them kind of stem from that Illuminati-esque doctrine and belief system that all came from the era of enlightenment. Because you got to understand, like prior to the 1700s, you know, when America was forming, when the French Revolution happened and all these, there was a rebirth of occultism and you know, with the Rosicrucians, the Illuminati, Freemasonry. Prior to the 1700s, the world was gripped under the Inquisition and the church and state monarchical rule that was killing people, torturing people for speaking freely as we are doing right now. But once the Inquisition started to end, and once, you know, people started to push back through secret societies, then this idea of revolution and enlightenment and separation of church and state started to be birthed. And then there was the immediate Illuminati, which I can get into. But then after that fell, you know, in the early 1800s, and then the churn of the Industrial Revolution, then the minds, the business minds came in, the corporate minds came in, the corporatocracy came in, and then that became the giant monster, which saw the opportunity for the first time ever in human history to take over the world in a new way, where it wasn't about religion, but it was simply about corporatism. And corporatism came and then just took the world by storm. And then all these other things happened, psychology and technology, and then now we're living in the new version, the next evolution of that, which is the technocratic state, where it's technology merging with the corporatocracy. And then behind that, you still have the driving force of the Luciferian doctrines that were born out of the Enlightenment era, and eventually it's going to be this fucking Ultron of the New World Order, you know, with all those things playing a part.
Yeah, so see, like, so let's get into the history then. Like, so you're saying originally that this was something that was maybe beneficial to us as a species, like as our enlightenment of like we're starting to figure things out in a different way, right? And then as it started dying off, people that were more business savvy and creating corporations and trying to be a part of, or maybe the first people a part of the Industrial Revolution, they used it as a catalyst to gain power and control.
Yeah, pretty much. It did start off as a beneficial idea because the church and state were ruling at the time. So what happened with the Illuminati in particular is the founder by the name of Adam Weishaupt. He was a German born in Ingolstadt, Bavaria in Germany. And his father died when he was like three or something. And I couldn't find anything on his mom, so I don't know what's up with his mom. But he was taken under the wing of his guardian, right, or whatever. So he was taken under the wing of his guardian, who was a Jesuit priest. And at that time in the 1700s, the Jesuits who had been ruling as a secret society for quite a number of years were starting to be condemned and outlawed. So they were facing this weird like scrutiny or whatever. But Adam Weishaupt grew up under the Jesuit priesthood. He was taught by his Jesuit, you know, a guardian, and he was highly educated. And he went to university at the age of 20, the University of Bavaria in Germany at the age of 20, graduated around 24 and became a professor at the age of 24. But he was a rebellious guy and he kind of like didn't want to do what the Jesuits were doing. So he was going his own way. And then the Jesuits were officially outlawed. And after they were outlawed, all these positions of education and local government opened up because the church and state were so closely tied that the Jesuits kind of like had a monopoly on the education system and the local government systems. So when they were outlawed, people like Weishaupt got the chance to fill in those roles. So he was 24 years old. So he was literally a young libertine college, you know, university guy. And he utilized Freemasonry, because at that time Freemasonry was a legal secret society. They were allowed to do their practices at their lodges, but the only rule or law was that they could not talk about politics or religion in the lodges. That was it. But Weishaupt and some of his buddies, you know, were utilizing the secret societies as forums, the same way as we would use like Instagram or Reddit or Discord as forums. So back then, you know, the meeting places of the Freemason lodges were the forums. So he would go there and they were starting to build their own secret society, which actually started off as the Society of the Perfectibilist. So they were known as the perfectibilist. And the eye was actually never used by them as a symbol. That was tacked onto them later on, because that eye and the pyramid and all that was actually a famous Renaissance Christian symbol for God, which was adopted by the Freemasons as the Eye of Providence. And then later on, we kind of just coupled Freemasonry and Illuminati and all that stuff together. But the perfectibilis actually used an owl as their symbol, that what was known as the Owl of Minerva. But they later changed, a few years later, they changed their name to the Order of the Illuminati, the Enlightened Ones. So they're going to Freemason lodges and they're like, on the hush hush, on the low, trying to recruit people to their secret society, and they get a following going. And then Weishaupt has the help of three men in particular who played a huge role in the Illuminati. And one of them was a lawyer by the name of Zwack. And so Zwack, he actually held some positions in the local courts, and he was down for Weishaupt's plan, which was basically to tear down religion. What Weishaupt wanted to do was he wanted to kind of just get rid of this old guard way of religious rule.
Because the religious rule at the time was like suppressing everybody, right? Like this was their tyrannical government that they were facing.
Yeah, exactly. So that was their tyrannical government. So like they were trying to fight back and find a way to where they could infiltrate society through different positions, and then basically move their men into the positions of power and slowly change the laws, slowly change the doctrines and the beliefs of the people. So he had Zwack, which was a very loyal dude who had positions in the courts and stuff like that. And he was a disciple of Weishaupt, so he would go around and recruit more people. And then he also had a dude by the name of Baron von Nigg. And Baron von Nigg was like the right-hand man to Weishaupt. He recruited most of the people, and he himself was a mystic and an author, and he had reached all the levels of Freemasonry by the time he was like a teenager or something. Oh, yeah, so he felt like Freemasonry wasn't even enough, so he was hyped to like, you know, take everything he knew with Weishaupt and build something new. But Baron von Nigg was a mystic. He loved mysticism, and he was somewhat of a mystical Christian. So he still had, you know, appreciation for Christianity and Jesus and that kind of stuff. But Weishaupt was just a straight up atheist. You know, later on as an old dude, when he was writing apologetic letters, he kind of like reverted a little bit and started to like think back on Christianity. But in his young 20s, he was a straight up atheist and just wanted to abolish government, wanted to abolish religion, wanted to eradicate the educational systems and flip it all around so that like the world could be free and openly speak about liberating ideas. So these three dudes, Zwack, Baron von Nigg, and Weishaupt, were recruiting a bunch of people. I think at the height they had like, let me see, like 3,000 people all around Europe. And another person that was very important in all this was a dude by the name of Nikolai. And Nikolai was actually already famous in throughout Europe for owning several publishing houses. So it was kind of like, I don't know how you could think of it. It's like Amazon in a weird way. Yeah. Like back in the day, he owned different publishing houses all throughout Europe, and they were very influential. Like they also gave reviews to books and authors. So like it was almost like equivalent to what we would think of as like the leftist media, whereas like they kind of like dictate what is good and evil to the people. That's what Nikolai's publishing house was back in that time. They would make or break authors. They would make or break ideas. And he was in line with Weishaupt's thinking with libertine ideas and trying to eradicate the old religious monarchical rule. So he was always bigging up people with that idea and always talking down to people with like the old traditional ideas. And then once he got met up with Weishaupt and his guys, they started pushing out like all these Illuminati papers, Illuminati ideas, and started changing society in that way. So, in a funny way, the Illuminati was the original left, you know, was the original leftist, but they were doing it for a good reason. They were fighting the origin of the right, right? Because here in America, we view the right as being like the conservative, traditional, theologian type of rule. And then the left as being this libertine, subjective morality. That's what Illuminati was. It was this subjective morality, all about free liberalism. But it's all gotten twisted today. And it's like the roles are sort of reversing now. It's all blending.
And the line, I was going to say. And then would you say that guy Nikolai, like him being at these publishing houses, he was able to dictate what culture felt, right? Like he goes, this is culture now. This is what we're into. This is our fashion. This is like, you know, a lot like how Edward Bernays, when he pushed for PR, like they always had that famous where he's talking about trying to get women to smoke cigarettes and that they were going to change the packaging for Lucky Strikes because green was, but they're like, ah, we can't change the colors. So what they hopped on the women's liberation movement. They were like, oh, why can't you guys smoke? They're like, yeah, we should smoke too. Boom, there you go. You know what I mean? The manipulation is on so many different levels. And I think that's where they've probably seen it. Like where they're seeing like, hey, people love books. People like reading. We can get in their brains. And then that's like kind of the beginning of like propaganda.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, the Illuminati and their doctrines like would set off a wildfire for all the other, you know, deep state societies to copy. And so as these dudes were doing their thing, local Freemasons were like catching on, local people were catching on, and some of their letters and papers were being like declassified and exposed. So the elector, as they would call it, or like the governor of Bavaria, his name was Theodore, he was like issuing warnings to Weishaupt and his people and the Freemasons, like, yo, you better chill out with this like stuff. And eventually it got too crazy. People were freaking out. And it even got to the point where there were some two primary sources that were written about it during the time. And one of them was by a dude by the name of John Robison in a book titled Proofs of a Conspiracy. And he wrote this like during Weishaupt's time. He wrote the book exposing like, yo, this guy Weishaupt, he's like trying to do this crazy shit where he's trying to take down governments and abolish, you know, family values and all these things. And there was a reverend by the name of G.W. Snyder who actually sent a letter to George Washington and that book advising him to look into the situation. And we still have the response from Washington in the Library of Congress. You can look it up. You can see the letter and literally see Washington's handwritings talking about the Illuminati. He basically kind of just like Washington basically just shrugs it off. Like he ain't tripping. He's just like says, I have not heard of them. Thank you for sending me the book. I believe there's nothing to worry about, you know, and he basically says, I'm too busy to look into these things. And I understand. I mean, it was Washington, you know, trying to start a nation, but that's just fascinating, you know, that it was that widespread. And then there was another primary source by a guy by the name of Abbé Barul. He was, I believe, a French priest. And he also wrote a book then titled The History of Jacobinism, where he was also exposing Weishaupt and his and other secret societies at the time. And so all this is happening, and Weishaupt starts kind of like losing his grip on his guys. You know, he's just so hell-bent on all of this. He's losing his grip on reality. And then towards the end of his days, he accidentally gets his homie Zwack's like young sister pregnant. And at that time, like out of wedlock pregnancy, even for them was like absurd.
Especially because they're run under the Jesuits and like, right, pretty much a religious, and religion was way more impactful way back then than now. Like, you know what I mean? Like you said, like you're literally you might get ousted out of town for some things like that. We would not even get a slap on the wrist today.
Yeah. I mean, these guys, the Illuminati and them, I mean, they were wild, but they were still, you know, gentleman of intellect, you know, per se. So like we have some letters of Weishaupt's where he's writing to his friends, like just like basically just begging them for forgiveness. Like this is not like me, like, please forgive me. You know, like, what am I? But what's crazy is in the letter, he kind of suggests having the chick commit suicide.
Wow.
Because in the Illuminati, they taught that death was the great sleep, that after you die, you just peaceful sleep. So it was kind of like a mind control method to get their people to do whatever they wanted them to do without the fear of dying or being tortured. So
that would be like the ultimate thing for them. Then they're saying, they're like, hey, no, that's good, man. You sleep. It'd be perfect. Like you're like in this perfect dream world type of thing. Or is it just like sleep that nothingness.
Just, I guess, you know, he was an atheist, so he was just taught you just sleep. But yeah, he was suggesting on having her commit suicide, and but I guess she found out and like she like dipped and ran away and had the baby. So there's still a Weishaupt family line out there, I believe. You know, but
yeah, and then Isaac Weishaupt, man. Isaac Weishaupt.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, I said from Tinfoil Hat. Yeah, I know. I always wanted to ask. I don't know if you just like use that as a nickname or that's his actual last name.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that. That's a good question.
But so all these things are going down. You know, they're being chased, and then there are raids. Raids start happening within like some of their houses, and start finding letters and all this stuff, and then Weishaupt and his main guy, Braun von Nigg, start like getting into fights. And we have letters of Nigg's stating that he's just upset. Frustrated at Weishaupt. And even like in one letter, it like kind of insinuated that he was going to beat him up, but like he had to calm himself down. He just was upset and like not down with Weishaupt's like strict atheism and just wild, licentious behavior. So Braun von Nigg actually ends up leaving the Illuminati, which leaves like Weishaupt kind of like just left with all this like chaos of like paperwork and all these like thousands of like, you know, apprentices, initiates to run. And it just gets too much for him. And even his own initiates stop showing respect to him, kind of just thinking he's a crazy dude. So eventually the Illuminati is found out, and then all these people are going to trial, and people are kind of, you know, snitching and this and that. But then Weishaupt kind of just gets a slap on the wrist. Him and Zwack get a slap on the wrist, but are exiled from Bavaria. So Weishaupt goes to live with one of his royal friends in Switzerland, I believe, or another part of Germany, and lives out his days up until the age of 80, writing like apologetic letters or like reformed Illuminati doctrines, and tries to claim like, oh, like I was just trying to do humanity a service. And he felt like he was misunderstood, you know, like he was trying to do humanity a service by forwarding us into a liberating, enlightened, educated world. But he ended up being disgraced, and it was all taken down and dispersed.
So like, yeah, he felt like he was moving society into and it kind of overwhelmed him. Like, at first, like you said, the initiation of what you're probably trying to do is like what a lot of liberals would like, you know, because I think they say like when you're young, you're a liberal. When you're older and you have kids, that you're more conservative. Like that's kind of the frame of things. And in reality, a balance is what everybody needs. Like you need to have compassion for people, but at the same time, be conservative of what you're going to do as far as like, hey, you can only have so much money, man. I got to conservatively spend, you know, and make sure I can provide for my family. So the intent there is to enlighten the human race and to better it. But then like you get into that power struggle and that like forms of different people that you're now dealing with, and him not having any ground of like base of a creator or anything like that, it probably was overwhelming. And then when these other people are kind of like, you know, lean towards a certain way, like where they're like, hey, I have a god or a creator, and it's hard for him to grasp that. And I think that probably pushes you over to the edge where you're a little bit more wild than everybody else, and you're misunderstood because they cannot at all understand where you're coming from, because they're like, no, you got to this is how we always do things, A, B, C, D, and you're doing, you know, you're jumping around. And I think that does drive a lot of people. And even we see it in the left, right? Like today, they try to do some things, and the right too, because the right does the same thing. Like they usually, like right now, like they're trying to cancel Disney, but I'm like, you're barely trying to cancel Disney, man. Like, yeah. What about Pinocchio? Like, I was listening to Tim Foyle had earlier with Brewer on. They were talking about the Pinocchio stuff. You know what I mean? Like, we've got the Little Mermaid stuff. Like, I mean, we could go on and on and on and on. Not even the propaganda of World War II. And you're barely boycotting. Why? Because you want to dunk on the left. That's why.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why. Any other reason, you'd leave it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a pathetic, man. Like, ideological war. Like the true issues are never brought up, you know, but yeah, I mean, the Illuminati was that. I mean, that was the Illuminati in its actual history. But then, and just to quote Robison, you know, one of the primary sources during that time, he lists the six goals of the Illuminati, which are very interesting because we kind of see that being played out today by the New World Order. He lists them as, you know, abolition of all ordered government, abolition of inheritance, meaning like private property. The next one is private property as well. So it's kind of the same thing, inheritance and private property. Abolition of patriotism. We see that a lot. The abolition of family or family values, and the abolition of religion. So these are the things that Illuminati was trying to get down to, you know, institute this new enlightened era. And even though the Illuminati failed, one of the last kind of stretches that they had conspiratorially was the achievement of the French Revolution. So a lot of scholars, including Robertson and Barul, the primary sources, and some people after them, concluded that the French Revolution was like the first official act where they succeeded in their goals of toppling an old world system, an old government system, and installing now a puppet politicians and controlling the nation's wealth as well. Because what happened with the French Revolution is there was a dude by the name of the Duke of Orleans. So again, like these old titles, like we can imagine it's like the governor of Orleans. And he was actually a cousin of Louis XVI. And for those who don't remember, Louis XVI and his wife, I believe Mary Antoinette, were the last royals of the French monarchy. And it was the French Revolution that toppled them, and they actually got executed, publicly executed. And so the Duke of Orleans, the cousin of Louis XVI, was fascinated by Freemasonry and was a friend and associate of Baron von Nigg and Zwack and Weishaupt through one of their other primary leaders within the Illuminati by the name of, let me get his name real quick, but while I pull that up, So they basically just used the Duke of Orleans. They used his wealth because, of course, he was wealthy, and he was actually already the master of the Grand Orient of Freemasonry in France. Okay. So he was actually the leader of all the lodges in France. So it was easy for him to disseminate, you know, information to all the lodges. He was the source of the network. Mirabeau, that's who it was. The Duke of Orleans was initiated into the Illuminati by Mirabeau. And Mirabeau is already a highly regarded figure in French history, but both historians are split on how they feel about him. Because some people see Mirabeau as a great revolutionary because he helped institute the French Revolution. Because even in French history, like mainstream history, yeah, Mirabeau was on the streets pushing propaganda, preaching like, yo, let's freedom, liberation. So then the other historians see him as a great traitor, right? Because he allowed the monarch to be fucking publicly executed, yeah, and the old world just be destroyed by all this ravaging revolution and craziness. So Mirabeau, being an Illuminist, instituted of the Duke of Orleans into Illuminati, and they utilized him, promising him, you know, with these rank of moving up the ranks of the Illuminati, because the Duke of Orleans actually liked secret societies and knowledge and hidden esotericism. So he was like hyped to learn more by the Illuminati. So they kind of played on that. And then later on,
because he wanted to feel like that exclusive club. Like, it's more than, yeah, power and money. It's like, man, I know this knowledge that nobody else knows.
Yeah. I mean, he was already rich. Shit. You know what I mean? He was already rich. He was cousin of Louis XVI. He was a royal. He was the master of all the lodges in France. He was already rich. So it was like one of those cases of like a bored rich guy.
And he already had to have all the power. You know, like you said, he's running all the lodges in the country, and he's able to like have a lot of influence. So I think that that's the thing, is like, you know how like when certain billionaires, or they want like a certain watch that, you know, like, hey, this is, there's only two made in the world. But I think knowledge is the thing that people thirst for the most, because they know something that you don't know and that you'll never be able to know, because, yeah, you don't have enough power, influence, money, and connections to get this knowledge. And I think that's what holds it together. That's what people always ask, like, well, how do the, like, information does get out there, where you're just told us a bunch of information about how it started. It's not like this information is hidden. Like, it's a little hidden. It's not easiest to find, but now it's easier with the internet. You know what I mean? You don't have to go, yeah, like swim, like go dig up, like, you know, some old scrolls or something. People were writing books back then. People, I know it seems like a long time ago, 1600s, 1700s, really isn't. You know what I mean? 300 years, yeah. Like only, we only think that it evolved so fast because when, you know, computers and TVs, that technology, boom, kept jumping, you know? And so I think people think everything jumps like that. But there is jumps, but not everything, you know? Like, as far as us as humans, that's a slow grind. You know what I mean? Like, building up who we are and how do we critically think. And I think that things like that are part of our DNA where we are critical thinkers now because people did push against the limits. Maybe if they never did, we would still continuously to see the same thing. Like, I was watching this movie the other night called Free Guy. It's about, like, an NPC character.
I've seen it.
Yeah, it's pretty dope. Like, I was like, you know, okay, interesting. Like, I kind of felt like they were kind of laying on thick about the whole, like, this is the first AI alive. And I felt like that was something they wanted. But I thought, like, yeah, that's also, if you can look at it as a good thing. Like, yeah, you know, everybody's this NPC just living life. No, I'm not going to get in. It's causing trouble until one day something makes you care. You care about something or so much that you're like, I can't lose it or I have to see something different. Once you start thinking, it's like you said, I heard something on a song. Then I had to look it up. Then there was this other pebble that I had to turn over. Then I had to turn over this rock. And it just like a waterfall, you know, it's like a little drop here and there, and then poosh, next thing you know, you're like, whoa. And that's with everything, whether it's music, hidden history, is it art, anything you want to learn. But once you're passionate about it and you get that little itch, you know, everybody calls it, like, whether it's sports even, you know, I got the itch. You get that itch and boom, man, you keep going down that proverbial rabbit hole that everybody talks about. But I think that you can connect a lot of things and see this is real. Like, it's not like, hey, man, you know, you say UFOs, for instance, right? Like, we can speculate on UFOs and flat Earth and is this and that. Like, I'm not a scientist. I don't know every, like, you know, like, people could use big words or put down, like, terminology that I don't understand. And then, like, I might go, yeah, I guess. Like, but when you're talking about, like, no, look, this guy wrote this, dude. Like, it's not like I'm saying it. This is somebody from that time actually getting an insight on what's going on. And there it is. And now you could get both. What the best thing to do would get both versions, right? The one that's talking good about YSOP and the one that's kind of talking negativity, and then kind of put it together yourself. And then you could get the best picture you can. But there is stuff. My point is that there is stuff that we can point to. And I think that more people need to have conversations like that to where we could put it forth. You know, like, it's not just about like I think we get too focused on talking about like politics and everybody falls into that. But it's like, no, it's us as. Let's look through what human history, what we have been capable of as humans. Not about if he's a billionaire, if you're a pleb or none of that shit. What are humans capable of? Then once you see what humans are capable of, then we start trying to figure out how society should work. But what every time what happens is there's few at top that feel like they are the enlightened ones or they're the powerful ones or they're the ones that have all the knowledge. And that's why me personally, I get upset with anybody where like when I'm talking, when they're like, oh no. 100% this happened, like, and you're like, but no, but it's something that we don't know about. Like, right, obviously, if you saw someone punch somebody in the face, then, like, you saw that. But I'm talking about things we speculate on that go, nah, man, I know that Bigfoot's real. I think Bigfoot could be real. I'm not even saying it's not. But you have to at least have the option and the open-mindedness of to be like, hey, I'm open-minded, and I'll hear you out. And that's when we could listen to all stuff. Like, I like the whole thing when they talk about a lot of those, you know, Bigfoot and Dogman and stuff, where they're more like interdimensional beings, or like, is it projected in our brain? Is it something that we're seeing? There is a lot of options, but when you focus on, no, it's just this, then we're never going to really truly know, because you only want to see that one perspective instead of looking at it all, like where we could see each piece fall together. Like, oh, you know what? You're right about that. That is a real footprint. But maybe that's caused because of da-da-da. You know what I mean? Like, there's so much for us to learn, man. And just history tells us a lot. Like, just right now, everything you said about the Illuminati, we could connect it into politics in the last 30, 40, 50 years.
Yeah, dude, absolutely. And I was just kind of moving through that briefly. But for anybody who's interested, you know, go check out, you know, the documentary I made on Esoteric Eddie TV on YouTube. But or you can even like go read those books, you know, go read that prime source material.
And I'll put the link up. I'll put the link up when we post this out and put it up on the Telegram and the YouTube. I mean, the Instagram and all that, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Appreciate that. But also like, and we still have YSOP's writings to this day, dude. I think that he's got like something close to 20 books that he published in his lifetime but only like two or three were translated in English. So there's some work for somebody to do out there. But you can even read Weishaupt's writings. I mean, that still exists to this day. You know, so knowledge is out there. You know, you just have to seek it. You know what I mean? Like, the TV isn't gonna give it to you. You know, or your IG feed isn't gonna bring it to you. I mean,
sometimes
people like us. Sometimes, yeah, that's what I was about to say. Like, people like us might bring it to you. You know, on your IG feed or on YouTube or your podcast. But even then, man, like, eventually you're gonna have to step out and do that research yourself if you really, really, really want to know.
Well, plus there's only so much we can know too. And like for instance, like, when we're trying to learn, it's not like we're not trying to learn everything, but it's impossible to learn and obtain all the knowledge is impossible. You know what I mean? Like, that's why you need everybody researching. You do a little bit, I do a little bit. You know what I mean? We all play our parts. That way we can all kind of like put the puzzle together. And I think that's why we got to get rid of some of the arrogance of like, I'm absolutely right. And more of just being like an open mind, critical thinker. You know what I mean? Where we're like, okay, I could see I'm with you 50-50 right off the bat. Now let's go through the evidence and see what we could do. Like, if we were going to win a court case, right? If we're going to win a court case, which is the public opinion, we have to put stuff out there. Now, when we're planting seeds, and that doesn't mean you can't have conversations. That doesn't, like, you have to have wild conversations, because if you don't speculate, how are you going to come up with ideas of where you're like, oh, that's it? How many times have you been like going through a thought process of something? You're like, how could that be? And then you're like, out of nowhere, like, you could just be, but since it was on your brain so much that when you're just doing something random, you could be randomly at work and it just clicks and you're like, oh yeah, I know what that is now. Now I get it. Now I can understand what they're doing. Like, when you were talking about the Illuminati, I was just saying, like, see, that's what I seen out of all of that is like where you get, when you know, psychology and then to the Edward Bernays and to how we use that to do, maybe not just get people to do what we want, but to make society how we want. You know what I mean? It's not just about controlling, like, oh, I want to make sure Sean's over here. No, it's in general how they want society. And they go, well, the only way we're going to change society is we have to change their minds, because there's more of them than there is us. Our ideas may, I think a lot of these people think they're superior in a way, like their intelligence and spirituality of they're on a level that most of us plebs aren't, so that they have the gift to guide us. That's how it feels a lot of times.
Yeah. Yeah, and going back to the beginning of the conversation, I think there are like basically three different types of Illuminati. There are three Illuminatis. There is the Illuminati of Weishaupt, right? That was the actual historical Illuminati that rose and fell. And then we have the Illuminati ideology, which is, or the Illuminists, which they are sometimes called, which are anybody, you know, politicians, theologians, people who aspire to the same ideas of the Illuminati, which is basically, you know, start proxy wars, take down governments or organizations, and then install your guys into that, and then utilize culture and pop culture to also shift the mind of the society to accept that new government before it is formed. That's kind of the basic of the Illuminati ideology. And then there's the third Illuminati, which is the conspiratorial Illuminati, which everything else falls under, you know, like the Jay-Z's and the music industry and all that stuff, which may or may not be a part of it, but, you know, for whatever reason shows likeness to it, you know, because the philosophy, the concept of the Illuminati is fascinating and makes for great art, you know, especially with the eye on the pyramid and everything. So, you know, art imitates life. So, you know, whenever I see somebody throwing out Illuminati, like, for example, like Freddie Gibbs, right? He just dropped that project with Alchemist like a year ago or something. Yeah, he's got a line in there where he says, I pray to Illuminati, you know, and it's like, I'm not going to take that literal, you know.
I think we're both on the same kind of level, you know what I mean? And that's nice to see, like, other, like, hip hop, like, you know, like, inspired people, you know what I mean? I don't know, what did you graph? Did you do graph or MC?
I was around all of it. Yeah, well, I did mostly MC, but I grew up around graffiti. My two older brothers were still pretty prominent graph heads out here in Southern California.
Oh, see, from that's where I'm from. I'm from Southern California, Riverside, Corona area.
Oh, where? Dude, San Diego.
Oh, nice.
Shit, we got to link up one of these days.
Yeah, well, now I'm in Michigan, though. Now I'm up out. Oh, yeah. Word. But when I'm out there, for sure. Like, because I go see my daughter and shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I grew up all around it. I mean, I was a tagger at one point, you know what I mean? But I never gotten, the only thing out of hip hop that I took serious, I, you know, was the MCing.
Yeah.
But I grew up all around all of it. But yeah, no, man. I mean, yeah, I don't know how much more time you got, but had a couple of things I wanted to kind of get through that.
Oh, no, you're good. Yeah, it's up to you, man. I still got like another 30, 40 minutes.
Okay. But yeah, I guess just going back to the whole Freddie Gibbs thing, but like, yeah, so there's three different Illuminati's. And of course, the last one is the generic Illuminati that, you know, we kind of place all these random things under. And that's the pop culture Illuminati, right? So like I was saying, Freddie Gibbs has a line where it's just like, I pray to Illuminati, you know, it's just a cool thing to say at this point, you know? So that's the pop culture Illuminati, that has nothing to do with the actual historical or ideological Illuminati.
As you see, Kanye and them are trying to steal that, not steal it, but rebrand it, the Numanani or whatever. Like they keep.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, him, The Game, a couple other people that are called, like, they keep saying it in their raps, like the Noom. And it's weird because some of the conspiracy holes I've went down through the years, it talks about how Jay-Z kind of wants to have his own like Illuminati. And I think that's the thing that people tend to not misunderstand too, is that it's not just one organization, not one secret society. It's not one group. There's many groups. There's many families. And they all have similar ideas of how they want society to be, but it varies. And they want to be at the top of this hierarchy. Cause I think that it's all like a pyramid, right? Like I mean, no pun intended, but you know what I mean? Like you got your like at the top, whether family or organizations, whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter how many there are, you have them at the top, but then below them, you have the politicians, the lawmakers, the judges, you know, the people that actually could put, and then below that you have the influencers, the rappers, the actors, the singers, the artists, the people that actually kind of get the people to open up, right? Like music is a great form to get into people's brain, because like the frequency like kind of puts you in a trance. And if you notice, I'm being a hip-hop fan, you definitely have to notice that now all of hip-hop has been very trancey. Not all of hip-hop, there's still some pretty dope music, but I'm saying for mostly speaking, it's really like this frequency. Like there's no more De La's and Tribes as much, you know what I mean? That was all kind of killed off, you know. That positive hip-hop movement that spurred was killed by, you know, gangster rap, where there's, you know, conspiracies of people signing and saying that, and I believe it. And I think it's these organizations with Illuminati, but I think you're right that people dress it up. Like, so is Jay-Z just using this to sell records, to like build his image of the brand of who he is? Because he purposely picked Rockefeller, right? Rockefeller, that's a weird guy to go after, especially like you're like, first of all, like that white guy that like the oil tycoon, like it makes no sense. Like, obviously, I know the spin of business and they're trying to say making money, but you know what that's attached to, especially now when you're trying to be social justice warriors and you're saying, no, this isn't. Well, then what's up with Rockefeller, man? We know where that comes from, and the guy who is a tyrant, you know what I mean, and is involved in many conspiracies of which people could connect him to, and the whole family, and you decide to attach to that. So I think you're right. I think it's kind of like similar, though, someone naming themselves after a character Scarface or any mob flick, because it's these characters that people are playing. So I think it gets confusing for people where people think every single artist is Illuminati, and you're like, no, that guy's just throwing it up, like, and it confuses people. I know, I think there is big time influencers that, you know, pass on messages, not necessarily that they go to the Illuminati meeting, but they you know, they're in the right circles that give them the messages that are passed on. But if to this weird thought of every single person is Illuminati, like, oh well, they're famous now, they're definitely, they sold their soul to the devil. Definitely they're Illuminati. I remember that was a big thing. Remember when Bone Thugs came out and everybody's like, psh, yeah, of course they're famous. They fucking sold their soul to the devil. I'm not saying they did or didn't. I have no idea. But I think we get to this fantasy of like, then it makes us feel, I think that is intended as psyop on us to make us feel like we can't accomplish things, right? Oh, there's no way I could be sell that many records because I'm not in the Illuminati, or I'm not a devil worshiper. It makes us not even, now we don't even try, right? Because what's the point? Like, what's the point? I'll just do my thing. I don't care about being famous, not even fame, but you know what I mean? Making money off of this.
Yeah.
Because now that you can only do that if you're fill in the blank. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude, exactly. And you know what's funny is nobody researches the Illuminati more in depth than a messianic Christian. You know, like you, like the Christians on YouTube and stuff, or like they're always going in on the everything's Illuminati, everything's Satan, Satan's and Lucifer at the top of the Illuminati, like Pat Robertson's famous yeah. book, The New World Order. And I just some of the notes that I was going to get into right now, I picked from this honestly fantastic essay. It's like a 300-page essay by a Christian, and it's titled The Need for Teaching the Eschatological Gospel of Both Comings of Jesus Christ in the 21st Century, especially as we see the day of his parousia approaching. Super long title, but it's by David K. Hebert, H-E-B-E-R-T. I just started like getting into it last night, and I was trying to pick out some like very cool points out of it, but it's like 300 pages, and the Christians, yeah, man, the Christians, they have the most in-depth, you know, details when it comes to the Illuminati, because they, for them and their religion, you know, they're obsessed with it because for them, this world is ran by Satan or Lucifer, and the Illuminati is under them, and then everything else falls under that. So everything in our culture, in our world, is just a symbol or a message that is being, you know, trickled down from late, like from Satan and stuff. But whether you subscribe to that theological belief or not, some of the historical or academic research these guys do is fucking amazing, man. So I haven't even read this whole paper, but just like the probably 40 pages that I did last night, where I picked out some just amazing pieces of information. And another guy who wrote on the Illuminati early on, post-Illuminati, he was in the 19th century, so or no, 20th century, in the 1900s, was a dude by the name of, what's his name, dude? He wrote Pawns in the Game. Shit, give me a second here. But it was another very important anti-Illuminati work, like early on. Pawns in the Game.
I agree with you, though, but too, with the, and then not pick on any religion, but anybody that, like, yeah. specifically, like, I know me personally, like, I grew up Catholic, but then, like, me personally, I just feel like there's a whole different... I don't even know what to call it. People ask me all the time, and I'm like, look, dude, I don't know yet because I'm still trying to figure it out. You know what I mean? Like, I know all I know is I have my creator, and I think I have my own personal journey, and each person has their own personal journey. But I agree that this groupthink of religion has came forth and said that, like, they even say me, just because I don't, like, if I don't subscribe to what they exactly say, they're like, shit, that's the devil. And you're like, damn, man, what the fuck? Like, I can't like anything. I can't research anything because it's the devil. Like, it's like that Bobby Boucher, you know what I mean? It's the devil. His mom, it's the devil.
Yeah, dude. It's like, as Robert Anton Wilson would put it, you know, it's the new Inquisition, you know? And so the dude's name was William Guy Carr. Okay. He wrote several books. He was an English-born Canadian naval officer, author, and conspiracy theorist. He died in 1959. So, shit, he was actually born in 1895. So he was actually tail end of, like, you know, the classical Illuminati era. But he wrote Satan, Prince of This World, Pawns in the Game, which Pawns in the Game is a conspiratorial classic, kind of like with William Cooper's Behold the Pale Horse. So Pawns in the Game, if anybody wants to get into some deep Illuminati stuff. So in that book, he postulates that Weishaupt, before Weishaupt died, David Hebert says in this essay, before Weishaupt died, he passed the baton off to an Italian revolutionary by the name of Giuseppe Mazzini. Now, the fascinating thing about Giuseppe Mazzini, besides the fact that he was an Italian revolutionary who was utilizing the same Illuminist ideals, he was toppling the Italian democratic governments at the time and kind of fostering in this nationalistic communistic idea, and was successful to some degree until later on he was taken out. What is cool is, or interesting, is that apparently he created the mafia. And now, this isn't for fact, this is kind of speculative, but apparently the mafia is an acronym it's an acronym for Mazzini Autorizza Furti Incendi Avvelenamenti, meaning Mazzini authorizes theft, arson, and poisoning. So after Weishaupt died, and we're going, so and Weishaupt died in late 1800s, And then apparently, or mid to late 1800s, and apparently Giuseppe Mazzini took control or leadership of the Illuminati in 1834. So right before the 1900s. So when the 1900s came, like as I said at the beginning of the podcast, that's when things like just went berserk for the governments of the world, because there was this corporatism, industrial revolution. But before that, there were still the ideological revolutions happening, you know, with the French Revolution, the Illuminati, and now the Italian Revolution through Giuseppe Mazzini. So they were setting up the world for ideological revolution, communism, Karl Marx, stuff like that. So Giuseppe Mazzini takes over and does his thing. And then there's just all these different branches that start occurring throughout the world, all starting with the Illuminati, with the YSOP, and then Mazzini, and then even in Egypt and Britain and Islam and all these different things. But an interesting thing is that there was a supposed letter written between Mazzini and Albert Pike. Now, are you familiar with Albert Pike?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So, and for those who don't know, Albert Pike is like one of the most famous or most significant Freemasons,
right?
Of all
time. Yeah. And notorious, right? Like everybody like.
Yeah, notorious. Yeah. And he's just famous for American history. He's the only Confederate officer that we have a statue of in like at Washington, D.C. or something. Don't quote me on that, but something like that. You know, we have a statue of him somewhere, but he was a Confederate leader and like just this super like accredited guy, which is in his own right, in his own life. But as a Freemason, he wrote one of the most significant Freemason books called Morals and Dogma, which is regarded as like the Masonic Bible in a sense. But there's a supposed letter between Mazzini and Albert Pike, and it talks about a plan on initiating the three world wars. And trying to pull it up here just to give you a brief, overview of it. But it's interesting. So the letter is dated in 1871. And Pike gave Mazzini plans for world conquest by three world wars to usher in the new world order. And the goals of those wars would be World War I to enable communism to destroy czarism in Russia. Basically, again, using ideology to take down old world governments. And the reason being is you have to get rid of those old world nationalistic governments because they have old money, they have old power, they have loyal families, loyal citizens, and you can't move forward in a globalist government if there's still a very powerful nationalistic kingdom.
And especially like we said earlier, if you have the court of public opinion, like if this old, usually an old monarch or an old like regime is going to have most of the people, right? Because they're like, this is what we've always had. Most people don't like change. So to shake it up and be like, all of a sudden now it's going to be this new rule, it has to be slowly manipulated into the people where they go, hey man, did you know, blah, blah, blah. That's when the secrets and the rumors, and you get one side. And then, like, you know, and now the CIA and different, MI6 and all these intelligence agencies have become great at this, where they start coups like that. You know, you start one opposing side where they go, hey, man, you know, these Nazis over here, da, da, da. And then you go to the, and you start the other side so that they could clash with each other. That's what I felt for the longest time that we're going through with, like, the whole Obama-Trump thing. I felt like it was done intentionally to have one side radicalized, and then you needed an opposition. So you got the opposition, and then you got to radicalize the other side, where now people are not focusing on their inner self and what can be best for all humans. Now you're like, hey, red team, blue team.
Yeah, it's called the Hegelian dialectic, which was the name of Prodigy's last album.
Yeah,
which was all about the Illuminati, which was weird. It was a weird album. It was a cool one, very weird, but that's what it is. It's basically you propose a problem which you already have a predetermined solution for. So you propose the problem, you give the predetermined solution, and then you create a synthesis and you shift the problem and the solution or the society into a new direction. And so going back to this supposed World War letter, so the first one, World War I, was to enable communism to destroy czarism in Russia, which is exactly what happened. World War II was to use fascists versus political Zionists, so Germany versus Britain, And then post-war communism will be in a position to take over governments and weaken religions worldwide in the establishment of the state of Israel. And then World War III, which we have somewhat yet to see, the plan was to have political Zionists versus the leaders of the Muslim world, so Judaism versus Islam, to destroy each other, bring the entire world into battle, create chaos, and finally to prepare the way for the New World Order. Where
that's pretty close, man. Like if you think about like 9/11, right? Like the whole purpose of why 9/11, like if you just look at it on the surface level, where they talk about that Osama was fed up with the United States government, right? Because they had hired them, you know, to get rid of the Russians. And then now they're like kind of like their relation had soured. And he goes, well, what we're going to do is we're going to put them. The 9/11 wasn't the attack, like killing 3,000 people with PSYOP aside, right? Like, I'm just saying, like, that wasn't the intent behind it. The intent was to put America into a 20, 30, 40 year war to bankrupt them. That was like the message behind what Osama was saying. He said, I want to put them into this war to where it's going to be endless. You know what I mean? They're not going to win it. It's going to be like Vietnam all over again. And they waste money. And you can see both sides. But then when you take a step back, and like what you're saying, man, it seems like perfect. That's when you take the step back and you go back into a higher level of that pyramid and you go, okay, what they're trying to do is, yeah, the Osama's saying this, towers going down, or what's happening in the Middle East, we're getting what we want, right? That's where we need this World War III to implement everything. And it seems like everything they've been doing in the last 20 years that I can remember has been everything in the Middle East, Yemen, Syria, the Iran. I keep thinking this whole Russia Ukraine thing is to push us against Iran. So that, to me, that's right up the alley. I thought that was the first place we're going to have a proxy war with Iran, because, you know, all the countries they want. And it just makes sense. I can't think of his name right now. I think he was a defense secretary under Bush or something like that. And he had came out a while, like, or in the Defense Department. And he had a big old where he talked about seven countries, that they want to invade seven countries in the next.
Kissinger.
No, it wasn't Kissinger. It was another guy. It was like he was talking about it. I can't think of his name right now. But I'll send it to you later. He was basically saying like the plan. He wasn't supposed to. He was like kind of going again, like, hey man, well, this is what they want to do. And nobody believed. Like, they're like, I don't know, man. We had to go to Iraq. No, we didn't have to go to Iraq or Afghanistan. So now that makes a lot of sense. Now that you're and this is not like written 20 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Like 40 years ago. You know what I mean? What you're reading right now is something that was written fucking what, like 200-300 years ago.
So apparently it was written in the 1840s.
Still over to like 140,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's close to 200 years now. It's crazy.
Imagine that, how like that's crazy though. And they're like, seems pretty clear, pretty good that it worked out so far. Like,
yeah, it's a conspiratorial letter, speculative. So meaning that there's no hard evidence that the letter is real. But that one of the first people to bring it to light was a conspiratorial writer by the name of Lady Queenborough. She has got this book called Occult Theocracy, which is an amazing book. My homie just actually sent me the two copies, the two volumes. It's just amazing work. And she wrote that. So even if she made it up, you know, even if she did, which I don't think she did, because she was a fascinating academic writer, she wrote that like in the early 1900s. You know, so like, yeah, man, I mean, I don't see her making, I think it's real. I think the letter is real. It's just been burned or forgotten or something.
I definitely too, because like I think like I had got Amy Says What the Fuck's book, Synarchy. Like that one's like, and everybody says you can't find it no more, but I think because she only probably wrote like, I mean, not wrote, but had like a limited amount. But the thing that was great about it is that like it just documenting the families, you know, of the black nobility and the whole hierarchy of these families that have through time, which to me makes it make sense, right? Like not only just evidence, but it has to be logical. If I go, hey man, there's this crazy thing that comes down, and like no one's gonna believe me, even if I'm right. Like even if I'm like, you know what I mean? It's not gonna. Yeah. It's just not gonna work that way. But if I can go, hey man, do you believe that there's billionaires ruling the world right now? Oh yeah, okay. Well, there's these families that will make them look like peasants, you know, money wise. Like these families, money is like not even a thing, I don't think, for some of these people. Like, you know what I mean? As far as like, they have so much, they're talking about, you're talking about raw materials, you know, diamonds, probably oil, you know what I mean? Like actual minerals of the earth, like trading, like they own parts of the earth, you know what I mean? Like, the where this is, yeah, like this is their world. They feel, you know, like they feel like, hey, we own so much of this, and we've been in charge of this for centuries. Like, you're talking about centuries and centuries of families that were afraid. I think wasn't it with the Phoenicians and all that, like where they were saying that you know, they were worried about getting so worried about extinction that they were like inbreeding, you know what I mean? And making these bloodlines stay alive because they were worried about it, and they kept passing them on. And I think they said like the black nobility kind of started in like Italy or something, like, and that's where they also say ties of the mafia too. So that's why I kind of like, I feel like the black nobility, the mafia, the Illuminati, all that stuff is kind of in Masons and all the other secret sites. Yeah. It's all entangled together because it's these elitists, which we're always battling. No matter what the generation is, we're always battling regular people that are just trying, like the working class versus elites. That's how it's always been. And the problem is that too many of the working class people fall for the elitist tricks.
Yeah, they're just regular people with elite knowledge. You know, but yeah, man, just to kind of wrap it all up, you know, some of the stuff I was just kind of like reading last night. So I was just kind of like blown away by some of the stuff, and I could not, you know, highlight all the stuff this dude put in this essay.
Well, it takes a while to absorb everything too, man. I'm the same way. Like, you got to read it and then kind of like bounce it off, you know. That's why it's always good to like have like little sessions, and then you go back to it like, wait, what the fuck? Like,
yeah, exactly. I'm always highlighting stuff, But yeah, just to wrap it up, like, so the Illuminati was real. You know, it started in 1776 in Bavaria, Germany, by Adam Weishaupt and his homies. And, you know, they were trying to do what they thought was a good thing by liberating the world from the church and state. But it got to Weishaupt's head with the atheism and just the control of society and him taking the reins of that control. And as they were exposed and they had fights within the order, it broke out. And then Weishaupt was exiled and continued to write and still has books that you can read today. There are primary sources about the Illuminati that you can read today. There's even a George Washington letter where he mentions the Illuminati that you can read today. But the conspiratorial aspect of it is what happened after Weishaupt, and people like, you know, those primary sources and like this essay that I mentioned, or Pawns in the Game by William Guy Carr, all speculate what happened after. And apparently it shifted to Giuseppe Mazzini and then communism. And then even over in Egypt and with the Islamists and in the Arabian world with the Islamists, who were infiltrating and creating all these crazy, you know, destructive ideologies as well. And as you say, it is just all intertwined and became this just complex system of a breakaway civilization, almost similar to like the John Wick universe, if you've ever seen the movies.
Yeah,
where it's like there's the normal world, and then there's the world of the breakaway of a civilization, where all, like, you know, there's just the shadowy people operate on a different finance system, on a different internet system, on a different everything system. But yeah, man, I mean, I'll just kind of leave it at that for now, and I'll let you wrap up any finishing thoughts. And if it's cool with you, I want to just spit a 16 for the people.
Oh, yeah, man, of course. Yeah, that's dope. Yeah, that I didn't even expect. That was unexpected. I would say to this, like, I would do the same as you, man. I think that I like going down these, like I said, it's not like I'm going to actually finally, I think in a couple of weeks, do like a flat earth episode, like a lot of people ask me, but that's not really my thing. My thing is just like the avenue of like human nature, you know what I mean? That's why Illuminati, the Club of Rome, like the all these organizations, we could go on and on with the organizations, but it's really human nature, right? Like how we interact with each other. And if we can learn how to not necessarily manipulate, but to prevent this manipulation from people, or to kind of like be some kind of medicine towards this manipulation, I think that's what these conversations are for. You know, like now everything you just said, anybody can go look up. And I think that's what it is. You know what I mean? So we got Esoteric Eddie about to drop a 16 for us right quick. You need a beat or?
No, I'm going to just do acapella. All right, for sure. Like poem style, you know, just nice and chill. Yeah, this is hype. I never really get into my hip hop side with all these podcasts, you know. So, but you've been a hip hop head. I'm sure you'll appreciate it. All right. So this is 16. So here it goes. We in the land of the mighty dollar, but the eye on the dollar is even stronger. Man, why do I even bother? Y'all don't want to hear that. Y'all just want to hear me slaughter a beat. Fuck it. I'll join the top as long as the Rothschild daughter a freak. I'll be a part of elites to populate through the carnage and creeds to disrupt your harmony peace. It's the harvest to reap. Occult secrets be harsh, the hardest to keep. Gotta tarnish your sleep. Gotta harness your chi. Keep it honest and G. It ain't a game, but call it Monopoly. The way a criminal psychopath can take office and lead, just with a Harvard degree. But the truth has parted from seed, watered by Julian Assange when he started his leaks. Yeah, he got them, but they still farthest from reach. Bases on Mars in the deep, making your fashion through slave labor product that's cheap.
That's what I'm talking about, dog. I'm going to have to flip that around and put that as the outro this time, because I always usually end out on a song and that kind of works out perfect.
Hey, there you go. There you go.
Well, let tell all the people where they can like reach you at, man. So they can like, you know, check out your books, check out any of your work, your podcasts. I mean, not podcasts, Instagrams or podcasts you're on, anything.
Yeah, yeah. Check me out on Instagram, Esoteric Eddie. A lot of exclusive content on there, just daily life stuff on there. And you can also check me out on YouTube at Esoteric Eddie TV. I did release a book last December called The Lucifer Mystery Revealed. It's an academic perspective on the history of Lucifer. Got a lot of projects coming out over the next couple of years. So hit me up on IG or YouTube. I got other platforms as well that I'm not as active, but if you want, you can check me out on Twitter, Esoteric Eddie. And I got a BitChute basically that I use as a backup for, you know, if YouTube's ever tripping. But it's under Esoteric Eddie or Esoteric Eddie TV, I believe. But yeah, hit me up if anybody wants to collab or just, you know, wants to just conversate or whatever. You know, I'm open to anything.
Yeah, and I'll have all your links, man, in this, because I know some people are lazy because you can like spell it out for them and everything, and they'll forget to go. You know, you have to like, hey, I get it. Like I'm the same way. I can't talk shit. I'll be like, where's the link, man? Like, I want
to gotta so have, the I'll link, have
all the links right there, man. Man, appreciate it, man. I appreciate you stopping by and like, you know, dropping that heat for everybody, man. Because that was some good shit, man. Like that, I don't think everybody really knows like so much about the Illuminati as a start like that.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. It was a good time. Had a good time.
And you know how we do it here. Wake the fuck up or get woke the fuck up. All right, we out.